Must be my allergies. Shalom Aleichem. Shalom Aleichem. Before we talk about the peace that Christ gives us, I have to mention a couple of things about the term hallelujah. We saw it over and over again in worship today, and it was absolutely wonderful. The songs that were there couldn't have fit what I did here today, and they weren't my suggestions. They came from the Holy Spirit. I'm convinced of it. But what I want you to see in your mind's eye, in the heart of your soul, is that word hallelujah. Hallel, praise. Yah is our Father's name, but it's also Jesus' name. Jesus, you know, we have the card saves. Well, the back end of Yeshua or Jesus is Yahweh saves. You see this in the book of Matthew, chapter 1, verse 21. It's the ancient Hebrew Yehoshua, Joshua. So that name, hallelujah. I remember one time, I always try to somehow in my historical teachings try to find a way of talking about Christ, where I teach at Lourdes Academy. And we have a lot of international students. I had students from China, students from South Korea, students from Hungary, Poland, Slovakia, Czech Republic, Spain, et cetera, et cetera. And one day I said to the students, do you know what the most international word known in all of the earth, out of the 200 nations? I said, hallelujah. And so I said to the student from China, would you tell me how you say hallelujah in Chinese? And she said, hallelujah. And I said to the student from Spain, would you tell me how to say hallelujah in Spanish? And he said, hallelujah. Same thing, Slovakian. Same thing, Polish. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, the most internationally known word in all the universe. And someday we're going to be singing praises to Jesus for what he's done for us. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Shalom Aleichem. Now this term Shalom Aleichem means peace be with you. It's a very common term in the scriptures, in Old and New Testament. It's a Hebraic or Jewish phrase. And Jesus, Rabbi Yeshua, loved the term Shalom Aleichem. You see this especially in the book of John chapter 20, verses 19 through 29. Jesus had just resurrected from the dead. He's got his beautiful, eternal, resurrected body. The followers of Jesus, the disciples, they're scared of the non-believing Jews, and they're hiding in a home, and the doors are locked. And as you know from the story in John 20, what does Jesus do with his beautiful, new, resurrected body? He comes right through those doors, and what does he say in John chapter 20, verse 19? Shalom Aleichem, peace be with you. And then he shows them his hands and his side and his wonderful, eternal, resurrected body. And they rejoiced when they saw him. And again, Jesus says in John 20, 21, Shalom Aleichem, peace be with you. But there's always one in the crowd, and we all know the story about doubting Thomas. And Thomas says, unless I shall see his hands, the imprint of the nails, and put my hands in his side, I will not believe. And 8 days later, the Jewish disciples, along with Thomas, they're in a home again. The doors are locked again. And what does Yeshua do again? He wonderfully and beautifully goes right through those doors. And he says, Shalom Aleichem. And the veil from Thomas's eyes drops. And he sees and he cries out, Adonai ve Elohei, my Lord and my God. And what did Jesus say? Blessed are those who do not see and yet believe. Blessed are those who do not see and yet believe in the invisible hands and heart of Yahweh for working throughout the universe daily. For that belief is the true source of eternal shalom, eternal peace. Your faith given to you by your Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, ruling in your hearts and home daily. Shalom Aleichem, my brothers and sisters in Christ. For those of you who don't know me, I am Patrick Joseph Dominic Jacobs, otherwise known as Jake. You can tell by that name I was raised in a Catholic home back in the day. And my father, Joe Jacobs, was a World War II vet, fought against in the Pacific Theater, was in a PBY Catalina, a radio man. And I'm so proud of that generation. You veterans out there, just want to tell you I love you and thank you for your service to this great nation. And my mother Joyce Ann, my brother and I, and Trish is his wife, we had put on the tombstone Lovely Lady of Song, because that's what she was called when she sang beautiful songs back in the day during World War II. At 18, in 1974, I moved to Arizona, and I wish I could tell you it was for academics. It wasn't. I just wanted to get out of the cold of Wisconsin and plus just have fun in the sun. I was a typical 70s guy, long hair, loved rock and roll. And I'm embarrassed to say I didn't imbibe in the herbs of the earth once in a while back in those days. And then something tragic happened. For the first time in my life, I saw a dead body in the coffin. It was my father, who died at 53. Came back home and saw his body, and it literally sobered me up, had me searching and looking for truth and reason for existence. And being a Catholic funeral, Sister Michelle, a friend of the family, came up to me, hugged me, and said, "Patrick, look to Jesus." I did. I read the book of Luke, heard about this movie, Jesus, that was based upon the book of Luke, filmed in Israel. Being a history guy, I wanted historicity behind it, and I found it, and I went to the movie on October 19th, 1979. And at the end of the movie, Jesus, in Tempe, Arizona, I gave my heart to the Lord, and I have not been the same since. After 10 years of living in Arizona, I came home to Wisconsin in 1984, thinking I was on my way to Israel to work on a graduate degree in first century Judaism, early Christianity. It's very important for me to get to the root, the source of historical items. Try to the best of your ability, go back into the historical context, the theological context. I was also enrolled in graduate school there, and it didn't work out. The Lord had other plans. I came home to Appleton. I ended up going to a little church in the Viking Theater in College Avenue called New Corinthians. And I met a guy named Bill Lenz. Shortly thereafter, I started calling him Billy. He'd call me Jakey. Well, that's where I met this wonderful man who not only became my pastor, but he became my buddy, my mentor, my accountability brother. I mean, at some very serious times in my life with severe depression, calling him and crying and on the phone at 1 o'clock in the morning, and him coming and being with me and crying with me and trying to help me work through these tough times in my life. I love him so much and miss him so much. And along the same time, I met this drop-dead gorgeous young lady by the name of Lori, my wife, who's on the worship team here. Yes, I know I married up. I hear that all the time. I'm so sick of hearing that. So within a few months, we were married. We moved to Ashland, Ohio. I went to graduate school at Ashland Theological Seminary to work on a degree in early Christianity. Lori and I went to Arizona, but shortly thereafter, we ended up moving back to Wisconsin, and we ended up reconnecting with New Corinthians. Lori got involved in the worship team with Al Rockman. I was involved in teaching and occasional preaching. And like I said, Billy was there through many difficult times, struggles I had. Seriously, the marriage problems we had in the 90s, Bill was so patient and long-suffering, and I have to admit, sometimes it was tough love when he'd smack me in the back of the head, telling me I needed to learn how to love my wife better and stop with my stupid thinking. We have all been so blessed, all of us, to have such a wonderful man as Bill Lenz as our pastor, our mentor, our friend. I miss our many debates on free will and destination. I'd like to think I won, but a lot of times Billy had me in a headlock. We had debates on law and grace. The one debate I think I won is arguing that Aaron Rodgers was better than Brett Favre. And then it was 1991, around there somewhere, and I created what was called the CFL, the Christian Football League. The championship trophy was called the Zion Bowl. Pretty clever, huh? Yeah. And so I went to Bill, and I said, "Look, do you know anybody that wants to be on the team with me?" And he goes, "Al Rockman." Right away, he said Al Rockman. I had heard of him, but Lori knew him better because they were on the worship team together. And so we ended up, one of our first games was against Rawhide. So it was flag football, Rawhide, and it started to get raw real quick. And I hate to say it, but F-bombs started flying and the flag started turning into tackle. And all of a sudden, middle of the game, Al has the audacity to stop the game and say, "Hey, we got to pray." And I'm like, dude, you don't pray at a football game. And Al just had this way about him that was so calming. And he said, Jakester, we need to pray. And we prayed. And it worked. We started actually playing football like Christians again. And I bring up that little story. There's thousands I could tell you. But Al, like Bill, was a buddy. He was an accountability bro. I remember, and I'm sorry, Lori, about that time in the 90s when things were going pretty bad because of my stupid thinking. And there was Al, literally on his knees in my living room, trying to get into my thick head and heart. And it worked. He was there for me. He was an accountability brother. We raised our families together. Al and Bill Lentz were the real deal. And like you, I miss them terribly. I miss them terribly. Let's go to the next slide so I can get out of this one here. The crying doesn't count for the time. Okay. The slide with the founding fathers. Oh, excuse me, I misspoke. I'm a history teacher, and dates stick in my head. It was March 28th, 2017, and I got a text from Al Rockman from Neil Young's Old Man. I guess he figured I was an old man, so he wanted to tweak me, and we loved Neil Young. We used to play his stuff in our backyard and with his guitar and stuff like that. I still have the newspaper when President Dwight Eisenhower died on March 28th, 1969. It's in my classroom, and students have to know this. They get extra credit if they remember when my birthday was and his death day, okay? So Al Rockman died on March 28th, 2017, on my 61st birthday on Eisenhower Drive. And Eisenhower Drive, as you know, is the road that comes into Christ the Rock. I remember Pastor Bill in that picture. I'm sorry I was a little off on that one. At Al's burial, his preaching about Al's love of people, Jesus, and the longing for the kingdom of God. December 4th is my son's birthday. It's my mom's death day. I remember Pastor Bill on December 10th at my mother's funeral preaching about my mother's love of Jesus and the kingdom of God. On December 4th, 2017, I heard my wife and my daughter screaming in the other end of the house that Bill was dead. And all I could do that night in my office in the fetal position is cry over and over again, it's not possible. It's not possible. There's been a mistake. It's just not possible. I remember on December 10th, 2017, Pastor Dave preaching about Bill's love of Christ, his dedication to us, and his longing for the kingdom of heaven. I have no answers for that horrible, horrible December 4th in all of our lives. It will haunt us, many of us, until we die. But the longer I live, the more I am convinced of God's greatness, his goodness, and his love for us. Amen is right. Amen is right. There was a profound moment in the June in the summer of 1787, Constitutional Convention. Our founders were developing a new form of government. The Articles of Confederation didn't work. And there was fighting between the big states and the small states, the slave states and the free states. I mean, it got really contentious, even worse than the CFL games we used to be in. And Franklin noticed this. He was the oldest guy there. And he was remembering back to September of 1774, as you see displayed here. And he remembered when George Washington, Patrick Henry, John Adams, Samuel Adams, George Mason, Benjamin himself, and Reverend Duché reading out of Psalm 35, they got on their knees and they sought for the kingdom of heaven and they looked for God's advice because they were going up against the most powerful army and navy and they were scared, but they turned to Christ. And Franklin, as he rose, because he didn't speak much in the convention, but they had such respect for him, they said silence filled the air. And here's what Benjamin Franklin said. I have lived, sir, a long time. And the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable that an empire can rise without his aid? My brothers and sisters in Christ, God does govern in the affairs of men, and not just in presidents and prime ministers and nations, but in our lives, every one of our lives, intimately and at all times. For in the Bible it says, in Jesus we move and breathe and have our being. He is consumed with us. Never forget that, please. Never forget that. Now, in the beginning, Bereshit, Genesis. In the beginning, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, it says that Yahweh Elohim, Yahweh God, he formed man, Adam, out of the earth, out of the ground, and he breathed the breath of life. And Adam, man, became a nefesh chaya, a living soul. And sadly, and soon thereafter, was the sinful fall of man and the death of man. But we have hope because the Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:45 that in Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, the last Adam, the last man, we have chaya, we have life again. But this second chaya, this second life, in the Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, this second man, Jesus, is from heaven, and he's come here to bring us home to his Father's heavenly kingdom. Praise be to Yahweh for giving us life eternally through his Son, Jesus Christ. If we could have the pick of baptism, and this is why I am so excited to see many of you here getting baptized. You're being obedient to Christ. This is a wonderful, wonderful expression of what it means to have that second chaya, that second life in Christ. And I happened to go through my photos this summer. This was not intended for this, but God intended for this. If you look in the picture, who do you see in the background? You see Al Rockman. You see Bill Lenz. You see my brother Jake. I love you, Jake, back in the back, okay? And you see his beautiful daughter, Aviva, and of course, myself. Greg Sampson, by the way, for some of you may know him, and John Kiefer in the front here. But that was Aviva being baptized in April of 2002. But this is why we celebrate in obedience. We take part in Jesus' great commission to make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, this is a football right here. And in the summer of 1961, July of 61, Lombardi was still hurting over the fact that the Packers lost to the Philadelphia Eagles in the NFL title game. And he comes to the very first practice, and he walks in the room, and he says, "Gentlemen, this is a football." And you could see, you know, Max McGee and Forrest Gray, they're all kind of looking at each other like, "Duh, coach, that's the best you got?" Right? In fact, and Max McGee said something like, "Coach, could you slow down?" You know? But Lombardi then went on to talk about the fundamentals. We're going to learn how to block the best in the NFL. We're going to learn how to tackle and to catch and not to fumble. And as you know, sorry Bears fans, the Packers went on to win 5 NFL titles in 7 years in the first 2 Super Bowls. And we all know the name on the Super Bowl is Lombardi. I love it. My brothers and sisters in Christ, on a much more serious note, this is the Bible. These are the holy Yahweh-breathed words. These words, driven by the Holy Spirit, the Logos of God, the Torah of God, that anchors in our hearts and our souls to remind us whose we are and who He is. I love it in the book of Matthew, chapter 4, the first 4 verses, where Jesus has been out in the wilderness for 40 days. And what does the devil do? He tempts him, turn those stones into bread. Jesus doesn't fall for the schemes of the devil. He turns to the Torah, to the Old Testament, to the Tanakh. He turns to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 8. And what does he say with power? He says, "It is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of Yahweh." My brothers and sisters at Christ the Rock, this too we must do. We must rely upon the word of God to guide us, to study His Word, to know the character of God, the glory of God, the gracious love of God, and to know of His kingdom He has prepared for us. How many of you here believe you're disciples of Jesus Christ? Raise your hand. Look at this. This place is packed. Disciple simply means a student studier of the Word. We study the Word to know about the kingdom of God, the character of God, to know about our King Jesus. We don't just do this for, head knowledge. And don't get me wrong. Please don't get me wrong. Doctrine is profoundly important. But it's much more important to have an experiential relationship. And the scriptures can do that for you if you're empowered by the Holy Spirit to understand who God is. Get lost in the scriptures to find Jesus, to find our Father in heaven, Yahweh. The scriptures teach us in Psalm 19:1 that the heavens declare his glory and the skies proclaim the works of his hand. Every single day in our lives, we see nature say to us, God is. He loves us. He's there for us. I love it in the book of John, right before Jesus is going to go and be crucified. And he's seeking his Father's face, and he's talking about how I have come to give them your name, Yahweh, to manifest your name upon the earth. But the very first thing it says in John 17:1 is, Jesus looked up to heaven. I love that. Don't you look up to heaven? Every day in the sky, you see the moon, the stars, you see the stars, and you think, Yahweh, Yahweh, thank you for your creation. Do you remember me talking about Benjamin Franklin? Not only was he at the Constitutional Convention, but he was also one of the guys who helped write the Declaration of Independence. The primary author was Thomas Jefferson. And of course, the Declaration of Independence declares the self-evident truth that life and liberty come from our Creator. Thus the term, we hold these truths to be self-evident. They knew their scriptures. They were taking that from the book of Romans, chapter 1. Now, what many people don't know, and I've seen this in education now for over 30 years, due to this very anti-Christian, postmodern, politically correct education culture, that our Creator, in the last paragraph of the Declaration of Independence, is called the Supreme Judge of the World. Now, think of that. The Creator is called the Supreme Judge of the World. They simply got that from the English philosopher John Locke, and he just took it from the book of Judges in the Old Testament. We don't like to talk about God as judge very much anymore because we're told that's too judgmental and very intolerant. Well, in Romans chapter 1, and I implore you to study Romans, the whole book, but Romans 1 over and over again. Because in Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 20, Yahweh tells us about his wrath against ungodliness and the suppressing of his truth in unrighteousness, and that he, Yahweh, has made it self-evidently clear that his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature are clearly seen and known by all. And all are without excuse, Romans chapter 1, verse 20 tells us. So all the old and the new atheists of the day with a million PhDs will never be able to stand before Yahweh and out-argue him and say, you do not exist. For the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the God of Israel, Yahweh, is God, and he is the God who is there for us. And that is a self-evidently true reality that he's put into our hearts, mind, and souls. Now, there's a concept in the scriptures called Yom Yahweh. Could you say Yom Yahweh for me? Yom Yahweh? Okay. It's simple Hebrew. Yom means day, and Yahweh is his name. Yahweh is the Son's name, too. Right? Well, in the book of Acts, chapter 17, verses 30 through 31, the Apostle Paul is in Athens, and he's debating the philosophers of his day, the PhDs of his day, the Epicurean philosophers, the Stoic philosophers. And he says this, God is now declaring to men that all everywhere should repent, change their thinking, their minds about God, because he has fixed a day, Yom Yahweh, in which righteousness through man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. This Yom Yahweh, this day of the Lord, is mentioned all over the scriptures. It's called in Joel chapter 2, verse 31, and Acts chapter 2, verse 20, a great, glorious, wonderful, magnificent, and terrible day. Jesus, as you know, spoke more of heaven than he did of hell. And once again, these topics of heaven and hell are not popular today in our postmodern world, where Yahweh's sovereign absolute truth is denied, where so-called truth has become a personal how I feel, anything goes construct. Truth for me. We know the real biblical Jesus is no longer welcome in our classrooms and in our culture. But that is nothing new under the sun, as sinful, arrogant man has been doing that for thousands of years. Now, last summer, I was blessed to be able to go to Washington, D.C. to talk to a number of young people about the founding of the nation. And I made a point of going to Lincoln Memorial. I was confusing with the Jefferson. Lincoln Memorial. And I went to the spot where Martin Luther King gave his amazing I Have a Dream speech. I still cry every time I show it. You can see the kids looking at me like, here he goes again, you know. But when prose, when poetry, when words pierce your heart, especially that which comes from the Word of God, it has to move your soul. And when he spoke those words, these words from the prophet, the Hebrew prophet Isaiah, I love it. Look at what he said towards the end of his I Have a Dream speech. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted and every hill and mountain shall be made low and the rough places will be made straight and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed and all flesh shall see it together. He's quoting right from the prophet Isaiah, Martin Luther King, calling for equality and the ending of Jim Crow and the evil Jim Crow that has scarred our nation. I feel profoundly inadequate coming in front of you, knowing who I am, knowing that you don't know me like my wife Lori does, and especially like the Lord does. How does an imperfect, sinful man describe the indescribable, the perfect, the holy, the creator of the universe, the giver of amazing grace? When the prophet Isaiah, who was an amazing prophet, saw the Lord, what did he say? I am undone, Lord. I am unclean. So please forgive me for God using me as a vessel to speak with you. I would like to close by playing a short part of Handel's Messiah. I love rock and roll, but I love some classical stuff too. And if you ever get lost in Handel's Messiah, it has this Hebraic symmetry and rhythm that's absolutely amazing. So there's a 1 minute part. If we could play this, it's called In the Glory of the Lord. And if you could look at the words, listen to the words, let them anchor into your soul, and then we'll finish up. The mouth of the Lord Yahweh has spoken it. Thus it shall be done. And it is written, Yom Yahweh, his day will come, and all flesh will see it together. A new age will come. And time, space, reality full of suffering, pain, tears, and death, as mankind has experienced since the beginning of time and throughout the ages, will be no more. For those who have called upon the name of Jesus. And it says in the second last chapter of the book of Revelations, he shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall no longer be any death. There shall no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The deaths of Bill Lenz, Al Rockman, and all of our loved ones stings. It hurts so bad some days. But we must have the faith to declare, as the Apostle Paul does in 1 Corinthians 15, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Death is swallowed up in Christ. People, death is swallowed up in Christ. Thanks be to God who gives us victory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I love you, Jesus, hallelujah. God has a kingdom. That's where I want to go. Don't you? Shalom Aleichem.